Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samech Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we look at the upper part of Daf Samach Vov Amud Aleph, we see a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamachalel es haShabbos bedovor shechayoven al zdoinoi koreis veal shigigoso chatos." That one of the penalties for Shabbos violation is the punishment of skila. This Mishnah says that one who violates Shabbos in a matter that warrants a penalty of kores when done in a premeditated fashion, and when done in an shogeg, in mistaken fashion, then he brings a korban chatos. If there are, however, witnesses that warned him that his action constitutes a Shabbos violation and he will be subject to the death penalty, then such a person will actually be executed. When we speak about Shabbos as being bemazed, chayev kores, we're talking about a situation where there were no witnesses. The fact is that this Mishnah mentions that one who violates Shabbos in a matter that is chayev bezodoin kores, it sounds like there are other matters of Shabbos that do not yield a death penalty or a mazid of kores. And the Gemara points this out. Michlal deiko midi, one can infer from this that there is something, dechilul Shabbos have, that would constitute a Shabbos violation, the ein chayovin loi al shigigosu chatos velo al zdono kores. And nevertheless, even though it constitutes a Shabbos violation, this other matter would not be, if done in a mistaken fashion, would not warrant the bringing of a chatas, nor would it bear a kores penalty. Kores being cut off, possibly dying young or not leaving children. What is an example of this kind of Shabbos violation that does not result in a kores penalty? The Gemara suggests two answers. Aleph, one is tchumin, v'aliba de Rabbi Kiva, the violation of departing beyond the tchum Shabbos. There is a distance beyond city limits that one is not allowed to walk on Shabbos. That distance is called tchum. According to Rabbi Kiva, the source for Tchum Shabbos is a Torah-based source. Hence, it constitutes a Shabbos violation on a Torah level, and nevertheless, it would not bear a Kores penalty if done b'mezid. Another example is Havora, the penalty, the prohibition of burning on Shabbos, of lighting a fire, the Aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and according to Rabbi Yossi, whom we have already seen in previous Gemaras, holds that Havora is a lav prohibition, is a negative prohibition, but does not carry with it a capital penalty. Hamakalel Oviv Vimo, Eino Chayav Achi Kalalem Vishem. One who curses his mother or father is not considered in violation of this capital offense unless he uses the official name of God in cursing them. Kilulam bekinoi. If he curses his mother or father using an auxiliary name of Hashem, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Meir views that with the same level of severity and says he too would be chayev a death penalty. V'chachomim potrim. The Chachomim, however, feel that it's not the same level, and he would be exempt from a death penalty. Man Chachomim. Who is the name behind this opinion of the Chachomim? Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, who? Desanyo. We will now see in a Tanaic source, and you can see in our marking system that the Tanaic sources are featured in frames. So the author of the Chachomim, the name behind the Chachomim, is Rav Nachum Rav Yossi, as is featured here. Rav Nachum Rav Yossi Omer, Benokvoi Shem Yumos. Ma Talmud Lomar Shem. The Pasuk says, Benokvo Shem Yumos. Why was it necessary to say the word shame? Rashi points out, Hoyo Loi Lichtoiv. It could have said, Benokvo Yumos. Ma Talmud Lomar Shem. Why is that word added? Shame meaning the name. Im Eino Inyan Lo, Rashi says, Dehok Si Venokev Shem. If it's not germane or necessary for this particular pasuk, because the pasuk already said Venokev Shem, Venokev meaning cursing, we'll say, Tenehu Inyan L'makalil of Avimo. So take the word shame at the end of the pasuk and apply it to a different category of cursing, cursing one's parents. So we turn back to our Gemara. The Gemara asked, why does it say in this posuk shame when it could have just as well said benokvo yumos? Limei, this teaches us, al makalil ove v'imoi, she'eno chayov ad she'yekalalem b'shame. It teaches us that one is not guilty of cursing one's parents unless he uses the official name of God and not an auxiliary name. And that's the opinion we saw in the Mishnah under the name Chachomim. With our markings, what we've attempted to do is dashed underline Chachomim and dashed underline Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi to create a sense of connection between these two opinions. We continue now in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we bring a Tanaic source, and the topic we should point out of the sugya we've assigned in our topic heading on the side of the Gemara, Mekalil Oviv V'imoy. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we want to turn our attention to a posuk in the Torah, and we've included it in our marked Gemara edition, Vayikra Perek Chof, posuk Tes. Pasuk says, Ki ish asher yekalel es oviv ve'es imoi, mois yumos, oviv ve'imoi kileil, domov boi. One notice is that this pasuk has in it what might seem to be a redundancy. The beginning of the pasuk mentions one who curses, Yekalel is curses, is Ovivis Imoi, and the pasuk says he suffers a death penalty. And the end of the pasuk again repeats Oviv V'imoi Kileel. Turning to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Ish. Ma Talmud Lomar Ish. The pasuk uses the term Ish in a double fashion. Why is that necessary? Answer, L'rabois Bas Tumtum Vandroginus. This double expression comes to include not only a son that curses his folks, but a daughter, or a tumtum, a type of child whose gender is not clear, or an androgynous, who has both forms of sexual representation on his body. The pasuk says, Asher yikalel es oviv ve'esimoi. Ein li elo oviv ve'imoi. From the pasuk itself, I might think that one is guilty only if he curses both parents. If he curses just one, he would not incur guilt, one might think. Oviv shelo imoi, imoi shelo oviv minayin. Father by himself or mother by herself, from where do I know? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk goes on to say, Oviv v'imoi kileil domov boi. That's the end of the pasuk. And from this we see, Oviv kileil, imoi kileil. Whether he curses his father or he curses his mother, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Let us pause for a moment and see how does one see this from the pasuk. So if one focuses on the dashed, underlined words that we have included here, these are terms found in the pasuk itself. Now focus not on all the dashed words, but focus on the word kilel or yikalel, the word for curse. Then, after focusing on those words, notice which parent is closest to the word. So, in the first example, you see it says yikalel es aviv. Father is connected or closest to the klola word. In the second dashed underlining, you notice the mother, imo kilel, mother is closest to the klola word. From the repositioning of the parents with respect to the klola word, you see that there is guilt for each one on its own. The Gemara goes on in this long Tanaic source. We should have pointed out earlier the length of this source. It goes to the lower part of the page. Rabbi Yonason Omer, Mashma Shneim Keechod, Umashma Echod Bifnei Atzmoi. When looking at a pasuk like this, one can say that even if you think both are included, one should at the same time understand each one by itself. Atshi Yifrot Lo HaKosuv Yachtov. Until you have a situation where the pasuk specifies togetherness, the word Yachtov. Rashi points out that there are other psukim in the Torah with other in the context of other offenses where you need two elements in order to create the offense. For example, in kilayim, plowing together with two different varieties of animals at the same time. So there the pasuk says, yachdov, don't plow with a shor ubechamor yachdov, together. But in this pasuk you don't see a reference to mother and father being cursed together. Therefore, without the word together, yachdov, I will not assume both elements at the same time. Mos yumos, the pasuk also says that, beskila, tells me, stoning. Ata oimer beskila o eino elo bachas mikol misas o amuos betorah. You say it means skila o eino elo. Notice we squiggle underline. The use of the squiggle line very often in our marking system is at a point in which the Gemara is presenting two variables or two possibilities. In this case, you see before the squiggle line beskila, and afterwards you see a possibility of maybe it means, most you must means, any one of the other capital forms of execution. To answer this, ne'amar kan domov boy, we have in the context of cursing one's parents, vayikra, Perikov Pasuk Test, it says Domov Boi, Venemar Lahalon, and it says in the context of Oiv Viyadoini, it says in the Pasuk, and we've written in a couple words before the words quoted in the source, it says there, Be'even Yirgemu Oisom Demehem Bom. They, the Ov and Yidoni sorcerers, are to be stoned, and Demehem Bom is found there. Ma Lahalon Biskilo, just like over there, it says Be'even, which means stoning. Afkan, so too, in the pasuk by cursing one's parents, we see biskila. Even though the word evan doesn't appear, but through word comparison, namely demeyan bom or domov bo, we come to that conclusion. Oinesh shomanu, we see from this the type of death penalty. Azhora minayin, as we've mentioned on numerous occasions previously, in order to carry out or in order to establish an actual punishment, you need to have two sources. You have to have a source indicating the punishment itself, and also another pasuk that is referred to as an azhora, a pasuk that you'll find stated in the negative. So where do we see the azhora pasuk concerning the cursing of one parents? In other words, a Torah prohibition of doing that. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Elohim lo sekalel v'nasi ba'amacha lo yisor. The word Elohim is a reference to a judge, so it says a judge one shall not curse, or a nasi, a leader, a king, also it says lo sa'or. Im hoya aviv dayon, if his father, if a person's parent, a person's father happened to be a judge, harehu bichlal, Elohim lo sikaleil, he's included under that prohibition. The im hoya aviv nasi, if his father was a leader, a king, harehu bichlal, v'nasi bamcha lo sa'or, so he would be, this the cursing him would be accounted for by this particular prohibition. Eino loy dayon velo nosi menayin. Let us say that one's father is not a judge, nor is he a nosi. From where would I know the prohibition? Amris hare atodon bebinyan av mishnehem. Well, we can answer that you'll derive it through looking for a common denominator, or looking for a rule. A binyanav is a rule established from looking at a common denominator between these two elements, namely between dayon and nosi. So let us see how the binyanav, the establishment of a rule, mishnam, from a common denominator would operate. The Brisa goes on and explains, lo roi nosi ke roi dayon. The roi is like the word raya. The proof one would bring from a nosi is not the same as the proof that one would bring from a judge, and likewise the other way around. Velo roi dayon ke roi nosi. And the Gemara, the Brisa explains itself. What we've done with our markings, we've introduced an aleph and a beis already. The order of the explanation, though, picks up on the beis. Hence, we've re-noted a beis over here corresponding to the beis you just saw. And we've also emphasized this with a dashed underline so you can see at what point things will be explained. Lo roi dayon ke roi nosi, the proof or the example one would bring from a dayon is not like a nosi. Share dayon, the characteristic of a dayon is as follows. Ato mitzuva al horo'oso. You are bound to listen to his legal rulings. So he is not, the dayon is not like the nosi. Ke roi nosi, like the proof one would bring from a nosi. Shehi ato mitzuva al horo'oso. Whereby a nosi, one is not commanded to listen to his legal rulings. Velo roi nosi ke roi dayon. And the characteristics of a nosi are not like those of a judge. Sha nosi ato mitzuva al hamro'oso. When it comes to a leader, one is commanded to listen to his commands and not to be he's warned against insubordinates. Kiroi dayon, whereas he is not like a dayon. Shi'iyato mitzuva al hamroso, one is not commanded to listen to a judge's commands. Commands being different than legal rulings. Hatzad hashova shebohem, the common denominator between these two different individuals is shehein ba'amcha, they are amongst your people. Ve'ato muzhar al kiloloson, and from these two people, even though they are very different, since they are part of your people, they are part of the Jewish people, one is warned not to curse them. Afato ovi ovicha. So by the same token, you can bring in to the realm of curse prohibition one's father. Shebe amcha. He too is part of our nation. Ve'ato muzhar al kilolason. By that point alone, we will say you are prohibited from cursing him. At this point, though, the Brisa introduces challenges, pirchos, and we've indicated this in our mivneh note to the side of the Gemara. The diamond is featured, pirchos. These are undoings or challengings to what we just said. Ma lehatzad hasheva shebohen, shekein, in other words, how can you derive father from the common denominator? The tzad hasheva is a common denominator between nosi and dayon. For the following reason, Shekein Gidulason Gor Molahen. These two people, Nosi and Dayon, are great individuals. They're leadership figures. They're godless. Their greatness is possibly what has caused the prohibition of cursing them. That would not necessarily include one's father. Therefore, the source for father might be as follows. Talmud Lomar, Lo Sikalel Chiresh. There's another pasuk that says that one shall not curse the deaf mute. And we understand the deaf mute to be a representative of the umlolim shel ba'amcho hakosim medaber, to the unfortunate of your nation, the pasuk is saying. So that even if one's father is not a leadership figure, is not a dayan or a nosi, nevertheless, he can be included in the prohibition that we just read, lo sekal l'cheresh. The Gemara says, well, I can't really learn from that either. Ma l'cheresh. How can you derive father from Chiresh? Shekein Harishoso Gomalo. It is specifically his lacking that may have caused the prohibition against cursing him. Namely, maybe the Torah is trying to protect the weak individual, the umlal, or the, in this case, the deaf mute, because he's a defenseless type person. Therefore, the Torah takes extraordinary precautions against hurting him. However, a normal rank and file individual, like one's father, I wouldn't know that there is a prohibition of cursing him. Well, if that be the case, the Mora says back, well, Nasi v'dayon yochichu. Let the Nasi and Dayon figures, we'll call them the leadership figures, prove that the warning against cursing is not because of someone's lacking. These are people that have everything. They're powerful individuals. And even so, the Torah warns against cursing them. So we see from Nasi and Dayon that there is still a prohibition of cursing, even if it's not a weak individual. So let me learn from them to father. Well, still, I can't do that. Ma'alu Nasi v'dayon. I can't learn from Nasi and Dayon to father, to the case of curse prohibition over father. Shekein gedulasan garma lahen. There, maybe, it's because of their greatness that the Torah warns against cursing them. That the Torah is saying, a great individual, one is not allowed to curse. But I wouldn't know that about a father who's just a member of the standard rank and file of the population. So to that we say, Cheresh Yochiach. Cheresh will prove that the prohibition is not based on godless. It could be something else. But then, don't forget, but before we try to learn father from Cheresh, we said, no, we can't learn from Cheresh either. So the circle goes around and around. We can't learn from this, and we can't learn from that. We're sort of like passing the ball back and forth and trying to derive a father. So what do we do? The Chozer Hadin, and the logic continues in a circle. Lo ro'izeh ki ro'izeh, v'lo ro'izeh ki ro'izeh. Neither element is like the other element. What do? We therefore extract a common denominator. Hatzad hashava shebohen, shein va'amcho. They are, the tzad hashava, the common denominator between Nasi, Dayon, and Cheresh, is that they are members of our people, v'ato muzhar al kilolason, and we are warned against cursing them. Af ani avicha sheba'amcho, I too will bring into this assembly of individuals one's father, who also was a member of our people, and conclude v'ato muzhar al kilolason, and understand that we are warned against cursing him. At this point, however, the Gemara says, still I'm at a loss. Ma letzad hashava shebohen, how can you learn from the common denominator of them, namely Nasi, Dayan, and Cheresh, shekein mishunim, they are all unusual people, either to the one extreme or the other. How can I learn father, who's a member of the general average population? The Braisa answers, Elo, im kein, if I am not to learn this as a tzad hashave, then nichtoiv kra, then the pasuk would have written simply oy Elohim v'cheresh, judge and deaf mute, oy, or possibly nasi v'cheresh, represent two extremes. Why is a third individual brought into the scheme of things here? Elohim lomali. If the Torah is warning simply against the cursing of extreme individuals, either extremely great or extremely lacking, it would have been sufficient to say Nasi and Cheresh. Why is Elohim added as well? Im eino inyan legufo, if adding Elohim, which we understand to mean a judge, is not necessary for itself, tenehu inyan le'aviv, apply it to something else. Apply it as a reference to one's father. And we would learn, therefore, from the three individuals that the Torah specifies not to curse, we will be able to derive father as well. And hence, we have found at this point the Azhara Pasuk for warning against cursing of father. So as we see in the general scheme of things, we see an Oinesh Pasuk that we referred to above in Vayikra, Perek Chav Pasuk Tes, and through the Tzad HaShaveh, or more accurately, Im Eino Inyan method of learning, the extra word that we pointed out just now, that serves as the Azhora Pasuk against cursing one's father. The Gemara goes on and points out that Ha Nicha, this is all fine and good that we have an extra Pasuk, Leman Yomar Elohim equals Chol, that the Pasuk we cited above Elohim lo sekaleel is a reference to chol, meaning mundane matter, a human being, a judge. Elo laman di omar kodesh, if one says that the word Elohim is a reference to the Holy One, the Almighty, and its role in that case would be an azhora against cursing the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is referred to in the literature as Birkas Hashem. If that be the case, so then the Elohim word is used up for a separate topic, for as an azhara against Birkas Hashem. So my Iko the Meimar, what am I going to say? Where will I ever have an azhara against the azhara posik against cursing one's father? Skipping the bracketed section momentarily, we see the till the third line from the bottom, so you can see from the length marker of the bracketed section to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the dash dotted line, we will say, Gamrinon chul mikodesh, we will be able to learn the mundane from the holy. Let us go over the Gemara again with the brackets. The first point, the Gemara just mentioned before the brackets, we said according to the Manda Omar that Elohim is Kodesh, so my Ikol HaMeimar, what will my source be for Azhora against cursing one's father? We have the brackets here, and also an explanation for the brackets, why we put them in our on the note in the, on the side where the asterisk is. So Graim L'Shem Dilug, the brackets are for skipping purposes, as we just demonstrated. Kedei Lishmor Al Retzef HaKriya, to maintain a continuity in the reading. Besocha Sograim, within the bracketed section, Muvo Shnei Hadeois, there will be brought the two opinions we just made reference to concerning the word Elohim. Is it Kodesh or is it Chol? So we now continue. Disanya, the Brisa says, Elohim equals Chol, that in this pasuk, Elohim lo sekaleel, it's a reference to a human being, chol meaning mundane, but even though we're talking about a judge, nevertheless, with respect to the Almighty, this is mundane. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Elohim kodesh, that the word Elohim in this pasuk is a reference to the Almighty. V'tanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, he points out that Azhora lemevorach is Hashem inayim. From where do I know there's an Azhora pasuk against cursing the Almighty? Talmud lomar Elohim lo sekaleel. Leman de Omar Elohim equals Chol. According to the opinion that Elohim is a reference to a judge, Gomar kodesh michol. I will learn the Azhora against cursing the Almighty from the mundane, from the fact that there is a prohibition of cursing a human being, a judge. Leman di Omar Elohim Kodesh, according to the opinion that Elohim is a reference to the Almighty. Before we go further, let us go back over the last couple of words that we've read for greater accuracy. The second expression on the line, Lamanda Omar Elohim equals Chol, as we said, according to the opinion that Elohim is a judge, so we can learn Kodesh Mechol, that there would also be a prohibition against cursing the Almighty. However, and on the other hand, Lamanda Omar Elohim Kodesh, that the Elohim is a reference to the Almighty, Gamrinon Chol Mechodesh, the thought being that I will learn the mundane. For example, I will learn the prohibition of cursing one's father, that which is mundane, from the fact that there's a prohibition against cursing the Almighty. The Gemara asks, Bishlamo lamadomer Elohim equals Chol. According to the approach that Elohim is a reference to the mundane, to a judge, or possibly an extra pasuk referring to one's father, so Gomar Kodesh Michol, I can, in fact, learn holiness, the Almighty, from the mundane through what we would call a kal vachomer. Namely, if there's a prohibition against cursing that which is a human being, that which is chol, then kal vachomer, then all the more so will there be the a prohibition against cursing the Almighty. Hello, leman diomar Elohim equals kodesh, but according to the opinion that Elohim is a reference to the Almighty, how can you say that from that I'm going to learn the prohibition against cursing that which is chol? Gomar chol mikodesh? Reading that with an exclamation, would I learn the mundane from that which is holy? Dilma akodesh azar? Maybe the Torah prohibits against cursing that which is holy, the Almighty. Achilo azar, but that which is mundane, there is not necessarily a prohibition. At this point then, according to this particular opinion that Elohim is Kodesh, I don't have a source for azhora against cursing one's father. The Gemara answers, Im kein lichtev kro lo sakel. If the posik was single-minded, in other words, referring to a singular topic, then it would have written, do not curse, as follows. Like it just suggested, lo sakel. My lo sikalel. By adding the lamed in, we learn shma mino tarti. We learn two from this. Rashi at the top points out, lo sikalel, shtei klolos b'mashma. There are two cursings referred to here. Velokim nami, the term Elokim, which is used in the pasuk, also has a dual meaning to it. Nami shnei lashonos yesh bo. Also refers to the Almighty, the holiness, and also that which is mundane. Hilkoch lo sekalel darshino atravayo. Therefore, we have license to refer the lo sekalel azhora pasuk as referring to both. And from this, we would then say that father is included. The Mishnah, Habo al Naro Hamuroso, one who has intimacy with a betrothed young woman, Eino Chayov, he is not guilty of a stoning penalty, Achite, until the woman has the following characteristics, Naro, she is between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, Besula, she is a virgin, Muroso, and she has been offered Kesef Kiddushin, but has not yet entered the chuppah, not yet consummated her marriage. Vehi bevesovia, and she is still in her father's domain. Bo'u, before we continue, we just take a note, we take a look at Rashi. Vehi bevesovia. Limute moser ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal. This is to the exclusion of a case where she was given over by her father to the husband's emissaries, to be taken to her new husband's home, the zin sabaderech, and she was engaged in immorality on the way. In such a case, she would not be included, the person who does that with her would not be guilty of skila. Bo oleho shnayim. If two people have relations with her in a shelo kedarka fashion, that means that even though they conducted intimacy with her, they did it in the unusual fashion, therefore she would biologically or physiologically remain a basula. What is the din with regard to the two people that had the shelo kedarka intimacy? Harishon beskila, the first one would be guilty of the death penalty through stoning. Vahasheni, the second one, Pechenek, the second man that had relations with her in the Shelo Kedarka fashion, would be guilty of Chenek, death by strangulation. And why is that? So Rashi says, Vahasheni Bechenek, de Be'ulahi. She is considered a Be'ula. Be'ula meaning a woman that already experienced intimacy. Vaha Stamo Rebbe, this unnamed Mishnah agrees with the opinion of Rebbe de Omar, Shelo Kedarka, that intimacy through the unusual opening is Nafkalei, takes her out of the category, Nafkalei Miklal Basula, Likamon, as we'll see later. She's no longer considered a halachic, a legal basula, even though physiologically she still is. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll take note of a couple of points. First of all, there's a topic heading, the Nose Kloli. We have a general topic heading, Habo al Na Murasa, intimacy with a betrothed young woman. We also will want to take note of the pasuk that the Gemara is going to be referring to, pasuk found in Devarim, Perek Chof Beis, pasuk Chof Gimel. We've included it on the side of the Gemara, Ki yiyeh nara besula meirasa leish. If there be a young woman, a virgin who is meoreses, namely she received money in order to marry a particular man, but yet not consummated their marriage. Umotso ish bo'ir v'shochav imo, and some man found her, some other man found her and had relations with her. Now we go to the Gemara, which will be breaking down that pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source begins na'ara v'lo bogeres. The term na'ara is an indication of the girl's age, namely she's under 12 and a half years old, which is indicated by the expression v'lo bogeres, and not a bogeres. Bogeres is that girl which is above 12 and a half years of age. Besula v'lo be'ula. The Torah is saying that the death penalty through stoning is only in the case where the girl happened to be a virgin, not one who was already engaged in previous intimacy. Ma'orosa v'lo nesua. The term ma'orosa means, translated often as betrothed, but it means she received money or the equivalent thereof to marry a particular man. But lo nesua, she hasn't entered the chuppah, she hasn't completed her marriage. Completed meaning consummated the marriage. Beves aviha. This expression is taken from the parsha of Motzi Shem Ra. And this expression, Beves aviha, prat l'shemosar ho'av l'shluchei habal. This is to the exclusion of a case where a Nara Marasa was given over by the father to emissaries of the husband. In other words, she's physically leaving the father's domain, and with that, she also, her status changes as well. She changes her status from the Nara Marasa that would generate a stoning penalty to a new status of that kind of woman that generates a penalty through strangulation, chinik. Omar Yudom Arav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah that insists that the penalty of stoning does not apply until she reaches Na'ara status. Na'ara status is at the age 12 years old. This is in conformity to Rabbi Meir's opinion. Avo Chachomim Omrim, the Chachomim have a different take on this, and they say Na'ara Hamurasa, the expression Na'amurasa, equals Afilu Ktano B'mashma, even if she's under 12 years of age. If she is anywhere from 3 to 12 years of age, and certainly from 12 to 12 and a half, the Chachomim hold that there will be a death penalty of stoning. In other words, the term Na'amurasa includes girls from 3 years of age till 12 and a half, according to the Chachomim. Before going further, let us glance at our topic heading for this piece of Gemara, the Nosei, Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's opinion will be featured. Parshas Na'amurasa Ne'mar Rak Al Na'ara V'loktana. That the Parsha of the Na'ara Hamurasa that generates a stoning penalty is said only concerning a Na'ara and not to include a Ktana. Continuing now in the Gemara, Amar Lei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. Mimai demasnisin Rabbi Meir hi v'lemute ktano nami. Who is to say, from where do I know that our Mishnah is specifically Rabbi Meir's opinion and thereby excluding a ktano as well as a bogeris from the penalty of skila? Dilma Rabbonan hi. Maybe the Mishnah conforms to the Rabbonan's opinion. V'lemute bogeris the sulo, and we are coming to exclude only the case of intimacy with a bogeris, that's mureses, and nothing more, and not to exclude a ktana. Amarle, Ravina answers, from the language of the Mishnah, we can see that the Mishnah is coming to exclude a ktana. Hi. This is now a quote from the Mishnah. Eino chayov ad shetehe na rabasula muraso. If the Mishnah was not coming to exclude a ktana, then the language would have been eino chayov elo al na rabasula muraso. If we were coming to exclude only a bogeris, then this second expression would have been used. But the fact that the Mishnah says, like the first expression which you see in quotation marks, eino chayov, there is no guilt of skila, ad shite, until she reaches the na'ara status, that is what clues me into knowing we are excluding the Ktana. Because if we were coming to exclude only the Bogeres, then the language would have been, as you see in the second expression, within the singular quotation marks, it would have said, Eino chayov elo al Nara Basula, that there's no death penalty except for the case of Nara Basula, coming to exclude the case of Bogeres alone, but not Ktana. Miboyale, the Gemara says, that's what it should have said, but it doesn't. And therefore, there's nothing really more to say on this topic. Vesu lo midi. Nothing more need be said. Bo'amine Rabbi Yankov bar Ado me Rav. Rabbi Yankov asks a question of Rav. Bo al haktana mu'uroso le Rabbi Meir mahu. According to Rabbi Meir, whom we've seen up till now excluding intimacy with a ktana mu'uroso, what in fact is the din, what is the law with regard to someone that has relations with a ktana that's mu'uresis according to Rabbi Meir? So we have two sides of the two possibilities. Aleph, legamri mamitle, is it so that he excludes relations with her completely from the realm of capital offense? The Rashi suggests, or interprets over here, Legamri komemaitle, de patrina le lagavro mi misa, maybe we exempt the man that has relations with the ketana murasa totally from, we exempt him totally from death penalty, hoyova ibtura, since she, being a ketana, being a minor, she is certainly exempt. The lav bas oinshinhi, she is not within the category of those subject to act to punishment. Velo karina behu, and therefore, since one side of the two of them, namely the girl, since she is not capable, or she's not deserving of a death penalty, we cannot refer to them as umesu gam shnehem, and that the pasuk says, and they shall both die, and that's written dechtiv gabi shochevim isha bulas bal. That is written in the Torah in the context of a person that has relations with a married woman. So since if one of the two is exempt, I could not apply to them what the pasuk says, and that both shall die. If it's not, it's like we say, all or nothing. So that's one side of the possibilities raised here. Or the second, the Bay's possibility, when Rabbi Meir excludes the Ktana Murasa from the Mishnah, maybe his kavona, maybe his intent is miskilo mamitle, that we are excluding the man from a skila death penalty, but not from total death penalty. Namely, he will get the chenek death penalty. Omar le, Rav answers, mistabro miskila mimayit le. It's most likely that that Rabbi Meir is excluding the man who has relations with the ktana, with the minor who is mu'ureses. And the Rabbi Meir is excluding him from a stoning death penalty, but not entirely exempt. Not exempt from the lesser death penalty of strangulation. The Gemara asks, why do you say that he is not totally excluded? Does the pasuk not say that in the case of forbidden intimacy, both shall die, and we learn from that Adshu Shneim Shavim that there should be no death penalty until both are equal. And since one of the two is exempt, namely the girl who is under 12, she is a minor, and since she's exempt, the man will be exempt as well. Shosik Rav, so Rav remained quiet. In other words, Rav before had suggested that there still is a death penalty, but from this particular attention to the verse, it seems to contradict Rav's ruling. Omar Shmuel, my time of Shosik Rav. Why is it that Rav remained silent? He could have answered Vinei Mole. He could have cited in response Umeis Ho'ish Asher Shochav Imo Levado. The pasuk, another pasuk, says that there is a situation where the man who had relations with her, he alone shall die. So we see a situation where death penalty is carried out even when with respect to one of the two parties. The Gemara says that this particular topic is ketanoi, is the subject of a Tanaic controversy. Umesu gam shnehem, ad shu shnehem shovin, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia understands that there is no death penalty given for the forbidden relations unless both are going to receive it. In other words, unless both are b'nei oinshin, are worthy of receiving the punishment. Rabbi Yonason Omer, Rabbi Yonason disagrees. He says, "Umeis ha'ish asher shechav imo levado," that there is a death penalty even if one of the parties alone is worthy of it. At this point, though, how does each one account for the other pasuk? The idach, Rabbi Yonason ahi umeisu gam shnei mai dorish bei. What does Rabbi Yonason derive from the pasuk that suggests they have to be on equal footing before we carry out death penalty? Omar Rava, limute maise chidudim. The pasuk of umeisu gam shneim is coming to exclude a case of, we'll call it immoral behavior, which does not involve actual intimacy. That's maise chidudim. Rashi explains, this is a situation where the male experiences physical pleasure by having a bodily contact with the female without actual entrance. The idach, Rabbi Yoshia says, with regard to using the pasuk of umesu gam shneim to exclude maisa chidudim, as saying, as teaching us that it does not, that maisa chidudim does not generate a capital punishment, that, according to Rabbi Yoshia, I don't even need a pasuk for that. He says, maisa chidudim lav klumhi. It is an insignificant type of behavior, and hence it's obvious that it does not incur a capital punishment, and therefore I don't need a pasuk to teach me that which is obvious. The idach, now the tables are turned on Rabbi Yoshia. What does he do with Hai Levado Mai Dorish Bei? What does he do with Rabbi Yonason's pasuk? Rabbi Yoshia, who before suggested that there's no death penalty until both parties would be receiving it, what does he do with the pasuk indicating that there's a possibility of carrying out a death penalty even on one of the individuals? So the Gemara answers, Kidasanya. Rabbi Yoshia will learn like Rebbe does in the following source. Bo aleo asor b'nei adam, v'ay adayin hi besula. 10 men behave in an immoral fashion with regard to a woman. They have relations with her, with a nara hamurasa, all in the shalom kedarka fashion. In other words, they are entering her in a form of intimacy, but through the unusual entrance point. And that creates a situation where even though 10 men have experienced intimate relations with the woman, she remains a basula, she remains a virgin. According to the first opinion, kulom beskila, they all get the skila death penalty. Rebbe says differently. He says, harishon beskila, only the first one to have relations with her in this fashion would be considered the offender of having relations with a nara hamurasa basula, and the rest of them, the kulon bechenek, the rest will get the strangulation death penalty. So we see that Rebbe uses the word livado as referring to this case, that they're livado meaning he alone. In other words, the first one alone will get the skilo death penalty, and that's what Rabbi Yoshia will use that expression for. But to review Rav Yoshia's shita once again, that there is, in the case of having relations with a ketana hamurasa, the man will not get the death penalty because you don't have a case where shneim shoven, where both are on equal footing. As we go further in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic. The topic heading is the nose is bas kohen shizinsa, the daughter of a Kohen who is an Eishes Ish that has immoral relations. Before we go further, we want to take note of a pasuk, and which we've included on the side, Vayikra Perek Chofal of Pasuk Tes. The pasuk says, Ubas Ish Kohen ki seichel liznois, es ovio hi mechaleles bo eish tisoref. Turning now to the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Ubas Ish Kohen Ki Sechel Liznois. As we go on in the Brisa, we're going to see information that will not be clear. The Gemara itself, after the Brisa, will ask, my Kohamar, what is going on over here? And then we will see diamonds which feature two explanations to explain Rebbe in understanding this particular Pasuk. So we read on with the understanding that we will have no understanding initially. Rebbe Omer, Tchila. Rebbe says this refers to a beginning. V'chein hu Omer, umeis ho'ish asher shochav imo levado. And similarly it says, in the context of one who has relations with a nar hamorosa, this particular pasuk. The Gemara asks, my Koma, what is going on over here? What does this source mean? Before we go on, we will once again just take note of our markings. On the outside margin, we have the Mifneh, and the diamond is featured. Beis Pirushim Berebi, two explanations to explain the opinion of Rebbe. Lahazbir HaPosuk, Ubas Ish Kohen Ki Sechel Liznois. And when you look at the Gemara, you see the names of Huna, Breit of Yeshua, with a diamond number one in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and further down, you see a second diamond around Rav Yosef, listed as number two. We've double-underlined the first case, Rebbe holding like Rebbe Shmuel, and according to Rav Yosef, Rebbe will be set up like Rebbe Meir. So before we go on in the Gemara itself, let us introduce some facts or present certain opinions, namely the opinions of Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe Meir, by glancing at our note that we have in the margin, Sreifa Bevas Kohen, the idea of the penalty through Sreifa, which is a heat-related execution, which we've seen earlier in the Maseches, the pouring down the throat of the molten or softened lead, heated up very hot, called Sreifa. We've listed here the opinions of Rebbe Yishmael and Rebbe Meir. The first is Rebbe Yishmael. He holds that Sreifa Bebas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, will be guilty of Sreifa Be'arusa Velo Benesua, only when it comes to an Arusa Bas Kohen, and not the Nesua. Rebbe Meir, on the other hand, has a different take. He says that Sreifa Bebas Kohen is said for a Nesua Lekosher, a Bas Kohen, daughter of a Kohen, who married a man that is fitting for her. And at that point, we can say that if after that she engages in immorality, we can say the oz tchilas chilula, her initial violation, chilula, which would be her initial ruination, is equals biznus, is through the znus. Veloi binesua L'posel, the ruling of Sreifa Bebas Kohen, will not apply to a woman who is married to someone that she is not fit to marry. Because in the case that a Bas Kohen married someone that is not fit for her, we say that her chilul, her ruination, began already through her marriage, and not through the subsequent act of immorality with another man. The oz we've written in, the oz tchilas chilula, the beginning of her ruination is enena biznus. It's not through the immorality, elo benisuin psula, but rather through her improper marriage to the man to whom she is not fit. An example of that would be a Bas Kohen who, let us say, married a mamzer, or a Bas Kohen who married a Nosin. These are different people that she is not allowed to marry. And if she did, so already from the point of her marriage, she became Mechuleles, she became ruined, and the Pasuk is saying that Sreifa, according to Rebbe Meir, is given only to a woman whose initial ruination is through extramarital relations. Now we turn to the Gemara. After asking, Michael, Omar, what was meant by this particular brisa, Omar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Rebbe Karebi Shmuel Svirale. Rebbe subscribes to Rebbe Shmuel's approach to the punishment for a bas kohen. De Omar, Rebbe Shmuel holds, Arusa Yotza L'Sreifa, and Arusa Bas Kohen is taken out of the category of general Arusa's Bas Yisrael, which would get Skila, and she, the Arusa Bas Kohen, gets Sreifa, Velo Nesua, but a Nesua Bas Kohen does not get Skila. A Nesua Bas Kohen would get Chenek. The Hachi Komar, and thusly, we are to understand the source that we saw above. Im Tchilas Bia Biznus, if, with regard to a Bas Kohen, if her first relations, her first intimacy, is an intimacy of Znus, of immorality, then Bisrefa. Who is being described here? The answer to that is we're describing an Arusa. An Arusa is a girl that never had intimacy. She's a girl, a woman, that received Kesef Kiddushin from someone, but did not experience intimacy with her husband. Therefore, if her first act of intimacy is extramarital, then there's a penalty of Sreifa. So whose first act of intimacy would be Biznus? This is a woman who happened to have been an Arusa alone. Namely, she was never with her husband. However, another situation, Idoch, a Nesua Bas Kohen, this is a woman who already had intimacy with her own husband. If after that she experienced Nus, then this Parsha does not apply. Namely, the Parsha of Skila does not apply. And that's Bechenek. That would get a penalty of strangulation. My Vechen, what is the purpose of adding the Vechen expression in the source? You can see where this is coming from by noticing the arrow here and the arrow above, pointing to the line where it said Vechen hu Omer. So the Gemara explains, before we go on, let us just repeat that the second pasuk that was cited in that source, the Umeis Ho'isha Sheshochav Imo Levado, was referring to the case of a man who had intimacy with a Nara Hamurasa. So the Gemara asks, why am I bringing that pasuk in? Ki Hasam, just like, in other words, our pasuk in Vayikrachov Aleph, which referred to the Bas Ish Kohen, is to be paralleled to the other pasuk, to the pasuk in Devarim Perek Chav Beis. Ki Hasam, Ma Hasam B'tchilas Bia Kamishtoikra, just like over there, the pasuk was featuring an Arusa, and it was talking about her first act of intimacy. This concept of firstness is what was referred to in the first pasuk when it said ki seichel. Ki seichel is a lashon of tchila, teichel, tchila, beginning. So just like over there, in the case of the Nar Hamurasa, we were talking about a woman's whose first act was in the context of znus. Hochanami, so too in the case of the Bas Ish Kohen in Vayikra Chof Aleph, B'tchilas Bia Kamishtoi Kra. It too is referring to a woman of a similar nature, namely, she is an Arusa. So simply stated, when is there a penalty of, when is there a punishment of Skila? That's when it involved, when the immorality involved an Arusa Bas Kohen, to the exclusion of a Nisua Bas Kohen. Amalei Rav Beve Bar Abaye. Rav Beve Bar Abaye, he interjects and says, Mar lo omar hoch lochi, that Mar did not say thusly. Mar is a title of distinction, and Omar, let's reread this Gemara. Omar lei Rav Beve Bar Abaye, Mar lo hochi omar. Rav Beve Bar Abaye says that Mar did not say thusly. Umanu, and who is more? Rav Yosef. In other words, Rav Bevi is pointing out that Rav Yosef said an explanation contrary to that of Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua. What's Rav Yosef's explanation? Rebbe Karebi Meir Svirole. Rebbe, who appeared in the unclear source above, holds like Rebbe Meir, the Omar. Rebbe Meir's opinion is that a Bas Koyin that's Nises Le'echod Min Apsulim, a Bas Kohen who married someone who is unfit for her, Misasa Bechenek, her death penalty will be through strangulation. only a Nesua Bas Kohen who married someone who's kosher, only she will get Sreifa if she behaves immorally. However, if the Nesua Bas Kohen married someone who was not kosher to her, but married someone who was pasul, then her death penalty will not be Sreifa, her death penalty will be Bechenek. V'hochi ko'omar. And thusly, we are to understand the source. Im tchilas achalta. The word achalta is her defamation or her ruination from the word loshen chilul. If the beginning of her chilul of the bas kohen is biznus, then equals besreifa. Then it is besreifa. In other words, the posuk that we have featured with the arrow above that said ubas ish kohen ki seichel biznus. The word tchila there is referring to the beginning of her chilul. If the beginning of her chilul is through znus, that means she was initially married. She was married to someone who was kosher, and her first ruination was through the extramarital relations. Then besreifa. However, v'idach, if her tchilas chilul was not biznus, but her tchilas chilul was through her improper marriage. In other words, she was married to someone who was posel to her, and then she went on to immoral extramarital relations, then bechenek. Then the death penalty would be bechenek. The Gemara asks, umay v'chein, what is the role of the second posuk that was cited in the original source, where the arrow points you up to the first of these three arrows, where the expression v'chein appeared? Before we go further, let us take a look at Rashi at the bottom. My v'chein, hocha lo kopid elo atchilas chilul, v'lo atchilas bia. According to this interpretation that's offered by Rav Yosef in the name of Rabbi Meir, the posuk is not concerned with the beginning of her, the first bia, with the first intimacy. The pasuk is concerned with the first ruination. However, the v'chein pasuk that is brought in is talking about first intimacy. So what's the connection between these two psukim? Once again, the bas kohen pasuk, as Rabbi Meir understands it, is referring to the beginning of her ruination, not first act of intimacy. Whereas the second pasuk dealing with the Na'ar HaMarasa features a first act of intimacy. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, what is the connection? My v'chein. The Gemara answers, simono bi'alma. The reason the source cited the second pasuk is only as a reference to firstness. Even though the types of firstness are different, nevertheless, it suffices to feature this idea. And this is what Rashi says at the top as well. Simona be'amo, ubitchilas shum davar hakosuv medaber. The beginning of whatever is what is referred to. The tchilas chilul miyohave. In our case, when dealing with the bas kohen, it's true, we're not dealing with the first act of intimacy, but we are dealing with the firstness in the sense of the first act, the first situation of her ruination. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.